Assalamu alaikum. This is Maliha Teaches for Muslim Health Talk. What exactly does Muslim Health Talk mean? It means nourishing our body, nourishing our soul, nourishing our mind, and nourishing our heart. And the best way of doing that is following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and instilling it in our daily life. Let's get started. Bismillah. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antas samiyul alim. Subhanaka fahm lana illa fahamtana innaka antal jawad al-karim. Rabbi yassir wa la tu'assir wa tamim bil khair. Wa bika ya maulana nasta'in. Ya fatah al-qulub, ya fatah al-qulub, ya fatah al-qulub. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna ilma, Rabbana zidna ilma, Rabbana zidna ilma. اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل آمين ثم آمين. So that is the beginning dua. Inshallah, if you guys are interested in understanding the words, it's on the WhatsApp group, inshallah. So last week I forgot to do the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I had mentioned how important it is. So inshallah, we can do it today. And if you guys have the copy, which is on the WhatsApp group, you can also follow along. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abdi Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab or bin Hakim bin Mura bin Ka'ab bin Lu'ay bin Ghalibi bin Fihr bin Malik bin Nadir bin Kinana bin Khuzaima bin Mudrika bin Ilyasa bin Mudr bin Nidhar bin Ma'ad bin Adnan. All right, so last week we had discussed who Hashim was, right? The great-grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and why his name was Hashim. He used to mash or cut up pieces of bread and put it inside of something that was soupy or curry-like, and then he would feed the Hujjaj, the Hajj, the people who came for Hajj. And he did this practice, and it was something very different from the custodians before him, because the custodians of the Kaaba before him would give them food and water, but not this type, right? This was like a wholesome food. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls this food thareed, right? It's like a complete food. It's kind of like when we make soup and then we add the bread in it and it has everything there, right? The meat, the veggies, the soup, besides the fact that it's bone broth and it's so good for you, right? It's a complete meal. So Hashim, the great-grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was known as taking care of the Hujjaj really well. And he was also very organized, so he would make sure there was a caravan that would go up north once a year and down south once a year for trade. So we also spoke about how Abdul Muttalib got his name, the son of Hashim, how people believed that he was the servant of his uncle Muttalib, and so they called him Abdul Muttalib. And he's the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also discussed how, you know, Abdullah was saved from the sacrifice of the promise that Abdul Muttalib had made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we want to discuss who Abdullah is and how he ends up marrying the beautiful, the sweet, the innocent Amina radiallahu anhu, right? Abdullah was the prince of Mecca. He was very intelligent, extremely eloquent in his speech, very gifted, very well behaved, very handsome, and he was very well respected and was the most eligible bachelor around. And Abdul Muttalib, the father, makes a proposal for Amina, the daughter of Wahhab. Amina bint Wahhab, her nickname was Zahratul Mecca. She was known as the flower of Mecca. She was very beautiful. She was very intelligent, well-spoken, eloquent. She was very good with poetry. She was the most sought after for marriage. So you have the most, you know, eligible bachelor Abdullah and the most sought after, beautiful, innocent girl, Amina. Amina was raised by her uncle, Wahab. And they accepted the proposal, and Abdullah and Amina were married to each other. And sometimes after the marriage, Abdul-Muttalib sends his son Abdullah to Yathrib, right? Very, very quickly, not months later, they say that Amina didn't even have her, the henna wasn't even gone from her hand. You know how you put henna on your hand and it lasts maybe a week or two, you know? It hadn't even cleared up from her hand, and her husband, Abdullah, had to go to Yathrib for business trade. And when he goes to Yathrib, he sells dates and other things, because in Medina, dates grow really well, mashallah. Medina compared to Mecca is very different, especially for those who have traveled it. Mecca is a desert. Things don't really grow there. And Medina is prosperous. It has water. It has greenery. Things do grow there. And back then, Medina was known as Yathrib. And many people would go to Yathrib and they would become sick, because the weather, the soil, the food, the air would make people sick. This happened many times. This happens to Abdullah. When he goes there, he becomes sick, and then when he tries to come back, he passes away. So the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried in somewhere called Abwa, near Medina, with Yathrib back then. Even Hashim dies, right? The great grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he is trying to come back to Mecca, because he went to Yathrib. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 6 years old, and he travels with his mother Amina to Yathrib, because they want to, that is a summer where he spends time with his family. When he's 6 years old, he does many sunnah sports. Amina, the mother of the Prophet ﷺ, wants her son to also know her side of the family, because her family lives in Yathrib. And the Prophet ﷺ, at the age of 6, meets them and interacts with them and enjoys his summer or his break. And on their way back from Yathrib, his mother gets sick, and she dies, you know, and she's buried in Abwa, you know. And so there's an incident later on when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a lot older, and he is traveling with his companions from Hajj, and he comes across the grave of his mother Amina, and no one knows this, right? And he stops and he begins to cry. And he just cries so much that his whole body shakes. And this shows us the love, the respect, the need, the connection a child has with their mother, no matter how old the Prophet ﷺ is. The Prophet ﷺ at this time is about in his 60s. But he cries with his whole body, and everyone around him cry as well, his companions. Because when you see someone and they are in pain and they are in sadness, it grieves your heart. And Umar radiallahu anha, he's a big man. He's a strong man. So Abu Bakr is the right hand, and Umar radiallahu anhu is on his left all the time. He comes over and he hugs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's like, "Ya Rasulullah, what makes you cry?" And he starts talking about his mother. You know, his mother did this, and his mother did that, and how much she means to him. And everyone is crying. So one, it proves like how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves his mother, of course, and how much respect we should also show to our mother, because we know that Jannah lies under the feet of our mother, right? We, our mother and our father, of course, put up with so much, right? They have made so many sacrifices for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises their station really high, to the point where if we were to rank it, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on top, of course. And then it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam underneath Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it is our mother underneath the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So can you imagine the station, mashallah? So I know like it's really hard sometimes to deal with parents, especially moms, because I guess for many reasons, right? They're so much like us and they just kind of tick us off sometimes, or we just become really busy with life, you know, or they know us so well that they pick at what we might be doing wrong, and that, I guess, it rubs us the wrong way. But we should never, we're told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to never say uff, to never look at our mother in the wrong way, to never hurt them, right? Deliberately or accidentally or whatever. Because their heart, we're a mother now, right? And we know how it feels now that we're mothers. We would do anything for our kids, you know, no matter how angry my kids are, no matter what wrong they've done, I still forgive them right away. Instantly. And I would do anything for their happiness, right? And all of us are the same. So can you imagine how our mothers feel about us? So we're supposed to say kind things. We're supposed to be gentle to them. We're supposed to call them every week. We're supposed to help them with whatever need they have, right? We're told that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that if your mother has reached, your mother and your father have reached old age, and you are not taking care of them, seeing to them, then this really angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his family members go to Yathrib, Yathrib is known as this place that everybody gets sick. Three members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family, his father, his mother, and his great-grandfather, who went to Yathrib, became sick when they traveled back and died. Because back then, when it was known as Yathrib, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina after migrating, it was a place where people would get sick. The soil would make people sick. The air would make people sick. The food, everything. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to migrate to Yathrib, to think of it as the better place, you know, to make this place your home. And when Yathrib is blessed with the light, the nur of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, its name is changed to Medina. Medina Tal Nabawi, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Medina Munawwara, you know, it is cleansed. It is cleansed of all its negativeness. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes there, now, and even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is known as the place where there's healing. People go there, the air is fresh, the water is purer, it's healing, the air is healing. Everything about Medina is beautiful and healing and healthy and wellness. There's no more sickness, there's no more nothing. Maybe mainly because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still resides in Medina. There are many teachers I know that when they go to Medina, they never walk with their shoes. You know, they're very careful what they say, what they do, where they go, how they're constantly saying salawats. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in Medina. He can hear us. He knows, out of respect for him, they're careful where they step their foot, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood here. He stepped his foot here. He sat here. It's a blessing to be able to even go in that city. MashaAllah. So next time you go to Medina and you try to remember that, inshallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's father, Abdullah and Amina, they marry and they don't stay with each other for a very long time, because Abdullah is told to go on a trade caravan to Yathrib, and then he passes away, right? And another narration says that he went to Sham to trade, but stopped by over Yathrib to rest, and then got sick and then died. So traveling for business back then meant that you were gone for months at a time, and people would get sick and people would die, especially, you know, in places that made them sick, right? So Abdullah is buried in Medina, and Abdullah was 25 years old when he passed away. His wife Amina was expecting a baby, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The father of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam died before he was born, died before birth, right? His birth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born an orphan. Amina and Abdullah were two young people and very much in love at this time. And Amina was in Mecca, and she was overstricken with sadness, with grief, with when she heard that her husband had passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted two moons, Amina and Abdullah, to meet each other and then raise a son, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? It's a beautiful way of saying it. So Amina's name comes from Am, which means Sakina, peace. And after they had their nikah, they got married, they spent a few days with each other, and very short time. And before that, Abdullah had this nur on his face that people would see, and many girls were interested in marrying him. And there was this one particular girl who wanted to marry Abdullah. And after he married Amina, you know, Abdullah saw her and said, you know, you're not interested anymore. And she said, that light that you had disappeared. And this is the nur of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that gets passed down from his father to his mother, and then to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abdullah lives for about 10 days, for about 2 weeks with his wife, and then passes away. So I want you guys to understand that the year that Abdullah, the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, died is the same year a disturbing event occurs in Arabia, right? The Amr al-Fil, the year of the elephant. So the year of the elephant, you know, the disturbing act that they had when they were trying to destroy the Kaaba, that was 570 CE. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father passes away that year, and 2 months later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born. So first the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father passes away, then the year of the elephant occurs, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born. So that is a year that most people didn't forget. It stayed vivid in their minds for a very long period of time because of these really important events that happened. So back in the days, they didn't think of years and days. They would attach a person's birth or death to something great, like a famine or a like this, the Amr al-Fil, when they came to try to destroy the Kaaba, or a flood, or whatever occurred that year. That's how they would remember birth and death of people. So that is why we know distinctively when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. Because at the time, the Arabs did not have a specific calendar. They remembered good and bad events in their lives by using an important historical event as a benchmark. So we spoke about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how he is born that year and the importance of his birth, right? So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother is known to not have difficulties like any other person who would be of child, right? And through labor, even during her labor, she did not experience hardship or difficulty the way other women experience hardship and difficulty through her labor. And while Amina was pregnant, she had a dream that a light was emitted from her lower body that illuminated the palaces of Syria. And when she went into labor, Shifa bint Amr, the mother of Abdurrahman ibn Auf later on, who is a companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, helped her and served her in her labor as a midwife. And Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is still around, right? Her husband might not be because he passed away, but her father-in-law is there, and he receives the amazing news, the beautiful, blessed news that his grandson's birth has just occurred. And he's so joyous that he takes this newborn, beautiful baby, Muhammad, to the Kaaba. And he invokes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and gives thanks. He basically like parades him around and shows it to everybody. And he's so, so happy and joyous. And he believed that his grandson would grow up to be highly praised, mostly praised. That is why Abdul Muttalib named his grandson, Muhammad, which means he who is praised, in keeping with the tradition of the Arabs. Then he shaves the baby's head and he circumcises him on the seventh day, and then he invites all his fellow Meccans to join him in a feast. And this is kind of like, I mean, of course it's the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's something that we're supposed to do as well, but this was also a tradition of the Arabs. So there are six things we're actually supposed to do when a child is born, right? One is that we're supposed to give them a good name. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a Muslim name, but it has to have a good meaning. It can't mean like war or death or something crazy like that. It has to have a good meaning. A Muslim name would probably be very ideal because all Muslim names have beautiful meanings. The second thing we do is that we cut their hair a little bit, right? Or we shave it entirely. And the third is that we do a haqiqah. We give food to everyone. We feed people and we sacrifice an animal in their name, right? And one third we give to the poor. We feed our families and ourselves. When the baby is born, we make adhan in the ear. Right? That's number four. I know there's more. We can also do what is called tahniq, which is we take a piece of date and we chew it up. And usually it's the father, or it could be some scholar, some knowledgeable person chew it. And we want that to be the first thing that the baby tastes, a date. Right? Something that's sweet, something that is, you know, a blessed food, a sunnah food, right? And I know there was one more thing I can't remember right now, but there are a few things that we need to do for a child. It's their haq, It's an obligation that we have, and there's their right, right? And I think the last one was, if it's a boy, you circumcise the boy, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was first nursed by his mother, and then he was nursed by Ayman, his father's slave, and an Abyssinian whose real name was Baraka. So her name is Ayman and Baraka, and she embraces Islam, and she migrates to Medina, where, you know, she dies 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has many names, right? He is called Muhammad, which means the most frequently praised. He is called Ahmed, and he's known by the Jewish people as Ahmed, because that means the most praising. But also in their sacred books, it's written down that the last prophet that will come into Medina is called Ahmed. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually goes to Medina, where the Jewish people are living and residing for that purpose. And even though he is known as Muhammad, and he is also called by Ahmed, and it means the same thing pretty much, they deny him, right? They don't accept him because he's not from their people. The third name is Hamid, right? The praising, the one who's worthy of praise. Number four is Mahmud, the praiseworthy. And these are derived from the same root. Five is Hamad, the one of constant praise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes his ummah, us, you know, the people who follow him, as hamadun, those who persistently praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these names and root names are consistent, that they pray, they are either praised or they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanAllah, like our title of Hamadun, the people who praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we know that, how can we deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of his praise? And so saying subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, we're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we inshallah on the day of judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will acknowledge us as part of his ummah. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a child, during that time, people would have nurse babies, take care of their children. And during the month that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, several babies were also born in Mecca. And nurse mothers from nearby would come to Mecca hoping to nurse babies from wealthy families. And several nurse mothers came to the village from Ta'if, right? And one of these women were Halima bin Sadia. And she is a beautiful individual. She is humble and sweet and kind and has a very pure heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mother wants her child to reside somewhere where he is not in the city. He is not where pollution is, where the language has been a little bit changed, right? So there are many reasons why people send their kids to nursing babies. They want them to be brought up in a land where the air is clean, the food is organic, right? There are other children to play with. They freely roam the lands, and it's like a holistic way of living, right? It's as if you took your kids to a farm, you know, homesteading, and you allowed them to live this very holistic life and are brought up in a very holistic community or home. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an only child, right? There's no siblings around him. And he is an orphan. And all these people come and they meet somewhere, these nursing mothers from far away. And Halima Sadia is not from a rich family, right? Where she comes from, which is Ta'if, there is a lot of famine. There is a lot of people are starving. People are do not have food. And Halima and her husband, Harith, have children already. And they're on a donkey or some sort of animal that they're riding. And their animal is the last one to arrive to Mecca, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother and grandfather are there. Because they're the poorest ones. And Harith and Halima and their children haven't slept because she doesn't have any milk in her, right? Her baby's crying at night. And she has a baby the same age as Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and his name is Abdullah. And she makes this journey to towards where Amina radiallahu anha is. And all the nursing mothers choose other babies, and they do not choose the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, baby Muhammad, because he doesn't have a father. So even though they don't get paid for this work, they think of what they can benefit in the future. So for example, if this family has a father and they have grandparents and they have extended family members and they are wealthy, then the nursing family knows that they will in the future have someone to rely on, someone to depend on, some family to be attached to, because they will, when you nurse a child, that child, you become the mother, you know, you become another mother to that child. You become a mahram, you become a part of the family, and these two families help one another. It's a way of connecting with other families. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he is the most beautiful, the most beloved, the most loved baby, is not chosen because he doesn't have a father. He has a grandfather, but he doesn't have a father. And by the time Halima Sadia comes and gets there, because her animal is so, so slow, it's the slowest one, she realizes there's no one else. There's just baby Muhammad. And at this point, Halima can say, you know what? She can do what other moms did, right? Other nursing moms did, and say, you know, I'm not going to choose this child. I'm going to leave. It's okay. But somewhere in her heart, she has this gentleness, this tenderness, this good intention. She's a beautiful individual, and she says, you know, it's okay, I'm gonna take this child, and inshallah, Allah will bless us with something just through being kind, right? Just through doing good. So she takes this child, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when she puts him on her breast, on her right side, all of a sudden, she is blessed with milk. Her breast is filled up with milk, whereas she's going through a famine. She has gone through hunger. She has not eaten. Her child has cried for night after night because she has no milk. And anyone who is a mom, who nursed their child, knows how it feels if you don't have milk and how the child will cry, right? But yet, when she takes this baby Muhammad, this beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses her with milk, and she nurses this child. And then after she's done nursing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the baby, she nurses her own child, Abdullah, quickly, because he's still hungry. He's been hungry for days. And after committing to this child and saying, I'm going to take this child and I'm going to take care of him, and I will be the foster mother, I will be the nurse mother for the next, I don't know, year or so, all of a sudden, their whole life as a family turned around. You know, they all have, their animal all of a sudden gives milk. They have something to eat, whereas before they had nothing. They have all kinds of blessings. When they go back with the baby Muhammad, their animal, even though it's the weakest one, it's the slowest one, actually rides faster and is ahead of all the ones that have already started on their way back. So, subhanAllah, like Halima Saadia sees the blessings just by taking this baby Muhammad, and she knows there's something very, very special in this baby Muhammad. So, inshallah, I will stop here. But inshallah, like, just think about how beautiful this event is, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a blessing to all of humanity, and he starts by showing this from the first few people that he interacts with, and throughout his life, when we learn about it, we see the immense blessing all the people around him sees as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive and resurrect our faith for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us rectify our intention, purify our intention to learn ilm, to get close to him, inshallah, to do what was pleasing to him and do it for his sake. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for joining me, Maliha Teaches, for Muslim Health Talk. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and so much more. All of our links can be found on Linktree Muslim Health Talk. Assalamu alaikum.